You know, there's a chapter in the Bible, Galatians chapter 6, that has two very interesting words in it. The first verse of that chapter says, "Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the love or the law of Christ." Bearing one another's burdens. A couple of verses later, it says that each one of us should carry our own load. So there's a comparison in that chapter between a burden and a load. The word burden in the first verse, when it says to bear one another's burden, that burden has the picture of a mule pack, a package that is too large for any individual to carry. So we put it on the back of an animal to carry along with us, a pack mule, because the pack is so large. The second verse that says each one must bear his own load has the picture of a backpack. And the comparison becomes obvious. All of us have a backpack of responsibility. We have the ability and the responsibility to care for ourselves, to care for our families, to go through the normal things of life. But there are times when our backpack becomes a mule pack. When something happens inside of us, something happens to us, we engage in some things that have large consequences, and now life moves from a backpack to a mule pack. And that's the time where he tells us to bear one another's burdens, where we come together and we help lift each other back to health and wholeness through God's strength and through his mercy. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here today and life has become a mule pack, then come to celebrate recovery, whether that's an attitude, a mental and emotional issue, an addiction, an attitude of anger, depression, revenge, whatever is your mule pack. There are folks that follow Jesus that want to help you find the path back to wellness and wholeness, and that starts on Tuesday night. It's amazing how God aligns our Bible teaching with what's going on in the rest of the service today, because we've been walking through a letter that a missionary named Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy, and Timothy's life had gone from a backpack to a mule pack. And Timothy's big issue on his cardboard sign was fear, rejection. And he had been sent to this church in the city of Ephesus, and it was a hard church to lead. It was a church that Paul had established, and it was a sophisticated city. It was sophisticated people with strong personalities. And because of all that was happening in the culture of the day, being a follower of Jesus wasn't a popular position or place to be or position to hold. And so people kept telling Timothy, stop talking so strongly about Jesus. Timothy, stop mentioning Paul's name. And Timothy's feelings were hurt and his ego was bruised, and he started shrinking away in his courage and his strength to be a good leader and to be a good teacher. And so Paul has to write this letter of encouragement, and we're in chapter 2 of that particular letter, and we're in the first paragraph of that chapter. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I just want to point out four key words in this particular paragraph that help us understand God's strategy for a strong life. I so appreciate the folks that came up here and were vulnerable with us, because what was written on their cardboard pieces wasn't just a random way that God has helped people. It was a personal testimony. They were opening up their chest and letting you know their difficulties and how God had rescued them. And that's a great thing. And if all of us were honest, we would have our own cardboard piece, wouldn't we? And what's interesting is that our cardboard piece would be new all the time, right? Like God helped us with that cardboard piece, and then we move on and we realize, oh, I got more stuff. So I got to write it on there, and God helps me with that. And then all of a sudden, I got to pull out another cardboard piece because God's dealing with me some other stuff. And so until we see Jesus face to face, all of us are going to be scribbling on our cardboard pieces. And the key is not just to scribble on the front, but to scribble on the back of how Jesus helped us. So he's given us a strategy for a strong life. Let's look at these four key words quickly, and then I'll try and unpackage them for us in a few minutes. Verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, that you therefore, my son, be what? Strong. There's the first key word. key phrase, be strong. Now, a lot of times in church, when a phrase like that is said, the preacher gets right into, hey guys, buck it up. Get going. Stop being so weak. I want you to know that's not the word here. We'll see that in just a minute. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So the first word is the strong. Verse 2, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust, there's the second key word, entrust those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The idea of passing your faith onto someone else. Don't keep your faith to yourself. Verse 3 is the third key word, the word suffer, or the phrase suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. He gives three metaphors about how to deal with hard times. Number one, deal with them like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active duty entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So how do I get through hard stuff? I look to the soldier. Verse 5 says, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So the way that I handle hard stuff in my life is I look to an athlete. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crop. So I can also learn how to deal with hard stuff from the farmer. Three very practical first century agricultural society pictures of how to deal with hard stuff. And then he wraps up with the fourth key word here. He simply says this, consider. Consider. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let me give you just a couple of strategy points for God's plan to help you become stronger. How many of you would be honest enough to say, I got some stuff in my life I need to be stronger in? Okay. Point at your neighbor and say, I know you got stuff. Because about half the hands went up in the room. So we all have stuff. I have stuff. One of the great things about Auburn Grace is no perfect people are allowed here. Okay? Number one, let's go through these quickly. Number one, position your heart to be continually sturdy. If I want to stay strong, I got to position my heart to be continually sturdy. The word strong there is the word sturdy. It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger pose. Turn to your neighbor and do that pose. Like, argh, I'm strong. No, some of you don't do that anymore. Okay, that just looks terrible. Okay. But what's so interesting about this word strong, it's that it's in the passive tense, which tells us that the action is not an action I'm doing, but instead is happening to me. So God is not telling me, Phil, buck it up and get strong. He's saying, Phil, will you allow me to make you stronger? You see the difference? It's that I'm regularly empowered to be strong. I don't have to come up with the willpower to be strong in and of myself. Paul is telling Timothy that someone out there is ready to empower you to be strong. So I've got to position my life to continually be empowered to be sturdy. And what's interesting here in the rest of the verse, to be strong in the grace of Jesus. Not tapping into my own strength, but tapping into his spiritual strength to help me to be empowered, to be stronger, to do what he wants me to do in life and to deal with the hardships. Now, that word grace there is a familiar word in the second part of your Bible called the New Testament. And grace simply means God's favor and kindness. God's favor and kindness. And if we were to do an expanded study on that word, we would find out that God's grace is what gets us into his family. That we were born into this world outside of God's family, and we need his help to get us into his family. I can be a spiritual person and even do spiritual activities, but that's not the same thing as being adopted into the family of God. That happens through a very specific process of trusting Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And even doing that, I need his help to do that. because I can't earn my way into his family. I'm given the adoption into his family by his grace, his goodness, his forgiveness, his help. But what's so fascinating is that once I get into the family of God, that grace valve isn't shut off. That spigot continues to flow full throttle. And his favor and his grace make me strong to deal with what I have to deal with in life. So grace here is not just God's goodness that got me into his family. It's the strength to sustain me to handle everything that I'm going to deal with until I see him face to face. So again, he's not saying be strong in your own willpower. He's saying, hey, would you allow me to make you stronger through my favor and my grace and my forgiveness and my goodness? We can't move on unless we answer a simple question: how do we tap into this spiritual strength? So let me give it to you in a very simple formula. You ready? ABCs. How do I regularly in my schedule and routine of life tap into God's spiritual strength to empower me? It's as simple as ABC. You ready? A, you can write this down on the bottom or in the back. A stands for alone with God. I need to spend time alone with God. And when I get alone with God, I discover things about him and things about him myself that he can help me with. But I can't discover those things when I'm in a community of noise. I need to be alone with God. B stands for Bible meditation and memorization. I need to saturate my mind with God's truth. Because when I saturate my mind with his truth by Bible meditation and memorization, it helps me understand what he wants to do and how he wants to do it so that he can help me be stronger. So alone with God, Bible meditation and memorization, and the C stands for contemplate and communicate. It's hard for us. Or maybe it's just hard for me and not hard for you. It's hard for me to shut out the rest of life and get quiet and contemplate. And my ADD personality doesn't like to do that anyway, right? But if I really want to tap into God's spiritual strength to help me become stronger, I've got to get in the routine of contemplation and communication. I can talk to God and just let him know what's going on. And I allow him through his word and through his spirit to talk to me, because God wants to show us his plan for us. So that's the ABCs. How do I tap into God's spiritual strength? Spend time alone with God, Bible meditation, memorization, and contemplation and communication. The more I can fit that into my schedule, the more I'm tapping into his power and strength. And so when Paul tells Timothy in verse 1, hey, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he's saying, you know what, I'm behind you and I'm going to help you. Number 2, position your hands to pass on the baton of faith. Now, we have to remember the immediate context that this is a letter from a missionary to a pastor, but let's read verse 2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The second key word is the word entrust, and entrust means to deposit something into the mind and heart of someone else. And he's talking about our faith, that I need to be strong to pass on my faith, to find out what God has been showing me and to deposit it in the mind and the heart of someone else. In Paul and Timothy's case, it meant that Timothy needed to find some men in his church that he could really dive deep into and pour truth into him. And these men needed to be, it says there in verse 2, entrust these to faithful men. So these are men in your church, Timothy, that have had a history of consistency, But then it also says there, and they will be able to teach others also. What's so fascinating is that Paul is not just thinking about the next group of people that are followers of Jesus, but the followers of those that are following Jesus. He's talking about two generations. Entrust the faithful men who will entrust the faithful people. He's talking two generations. Your life and my life can impact not just the next generation of believers, but the generation after that. The question is, Timothy's circumstance meant he needed to grab some men from his church and pour into them. The question for us today is, who has God put in your life that you can influence with your faith? God is always pouring people into your life and into my life who he wants me to pass the baton of my faith to. That could be people at your school, it could be people in your workplace, it could be people in your neighborhood. If we have eyes to see the people that God is bringing around us, we might have eyes to see where he wants us to pass the baton. Maybe it's your children or grandchildren, your neighbors, your extended family. But I need strength to not just become timid in my faith and not ever spread it or to entrust it to others. That's number two. Number three, I need to position my mind to stand in the midst of pushback. I need to not be surprised when someone doesn't buy into my Jesus. I need to position my thinking so that when even someone pushes back against my Jesus, it doesn't wound me so deeply, I go, like Timothy did, into cowardliness. I need to position my mind to understand, you know what, I'm gonna be brave in sharing my Jesus. I love those guys that are down here on the corner of Bell and 49. We saw them yesterday, Rodney and his team, holding up those big signs. I love the one that says, please don't go to hell. The one yesterday, Jesus, through the cross, saves us. Just putting it out there. Putting it out there. But God has given all of us positions of influence, and I've got to position my heart to not be bruised, my ego to not be dented. And when someone doesn't accept my Jesus or rejects me because of Jesus, I'm not devastated. So I've got to position my mind to stand in the midst of pushback. And Paul gives three metaphors here to help us understand what he's talking about. Number one, he tells us there in verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that may he please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. See, soldiers have focus. When the battle is raging and the bullets are flying, soldiers get focused. And their focus is to take care of their buddy next to them and to obey the commanding officer. Life gets super simple when the bullets are flying. And as maybe in a similar metaphor, sometimes bullets fly at us in some ways because we want to share our faith. We just need to be focused like a good soldier. The second metaphor that he gives is in verse 5. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Because, see, it's so easy when temptation comes, it's so easy when pushback comes that I know the guidelines that God has for me in my life, but it's easy for me to all of a sudden neglect those rules and follow a different set of rules that make my life easier. Have you ever been there? We compromise. And so Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, when you look at those Olympians and you see the discipline they have, that even when it's grinding workouts, grinding practice year after year before the big event, they're not cheaters. They compete within the rules. Our greatest goal is that when we see Jesus face to face, he puts a crown of victory on our head and he says to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In order to get that crown and those words, I've got to compete in the Christian life within the rules. That's a good metaphor. And then finally, verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. I don't think I have the personality to be a farmer, do you? You know, you toil and then you wait. And then you plant and then you wait. And the time between planting or sowing and harvest is always months. And there are things that could happen to your crop that are way beyond your control that could ruin everything in the past. And so I don't think I have the patience to be a hardworking farmer to plant and then to harvest months later. How many of you have a garden you just have given up on? Because you planted it and you got to weed it and then the bugs come and then the rains come and it's like, forget it. And you just have a little 10 by 10 plot, you know, and you've given up. I don't have the patience to be a farmer. Those cucumbers get ruined. The deer eat the cauliflower, which in my opinion they should eat because we shouldn't eat cauliflower. They should eat it. Here's the point of the metaphor. The point of the metaphor is that God's work in our lives sometimes takes a long time. And we've got to be patient. Sometimes making us strong to overcome things. Sometimes entrusting and depositing our faith in others. Sometimes hardships stick around for a while. And we got to have the patience of a farmer. But one day God's going to give you the fruit of that. And he says here, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. God's going to reward you for that. So the reward of your patience and hard work is coming, but sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you're going to struggle with something month after month, year after year, before God finally gives you full victory. The patience of a farmer. Suffer hardships like a focused soldier. Suffer hardships, discipline like an athlete, and suffer hardships with the patience of a farmer, and God will make you stronger. Finally, number 4 is in verse 7, position your schedule to review your renewal plan. Verse 7, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. That word consider means to sit down and contemplate. I think as a general rule, or not, as a general observation, we Christians in the Western culture have a hard time stopping the speed of life to sit down and contemplate. This is where many Eastern philosophies thrive. And there's a great sense where contemplation and being a student of my soul is helpful in the process of being empowered to be strong. He tells them, sit down and contemplate. And what I love about the rest of this verse, look what it says. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. What does it mean? I don't have to figure it out. God will show me the path forward. Isn't that great news? Now, this paragraph started with, let God strengthen you. And it ends with, let God show you to do it, show you how to do it. If we put those two slices of bread in the sandwich of this paragraph, overall it's telling us God is on our side. And he's going to empower us and he's going to show us the way. Isn't he a good God? He's a good way. He's a good God. So as we go forward and we need strength for mental or emotional issues, if we need power for addictions or relationships, if we need confidence in character, if we need to be strong in influencing others with our faith, God says you don't have to do it in your own power. Let him help you. Schedule into your life the ABCs. Schedule into my life alone time with God. Schedule into my life Bible meditation and contemplation and memorization. Schedule into my life stopping my mind from going 100 miles an hour and contemplate and be for a few minutes a student of my own soul and consider what God is doing, and he'll show you the way. He'll show us the way. Praise the Lord for the testimonies today about how God has showed them the way. And they went from defeat to victory. They went from despair to joy. They went from lost to found, because God is a God who will strengthen you and show you the way, because all of us are still working on our cardboard pieces. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. Lord, what a wonderful time to be in your house today. What a wonderful time to be with your people. The joy of seeing someone publicly profess their faith in you. Lord, the joy of seeing victories where there used to be defeat. And then Timothy's instructions, or Paul's instructions to Timothy here, to be strong, but don't do it in your own power. Let your life be empowered by the grace of Jesus. And Lord, help us to keep entrusting our faith into the minds and hearts of others. Help us to suffer hardship, go through those hard times, focused like a good soldier, disciplined like a good athlete, and patient like a good farmer. And Lord, help us to carve into our schedules time to consider all of this and to be able to discern from your word and from your spirit how you want to reveal the steps forward for us. Thank you that you're a God who wants us to be stronger, and you're a God who doesn't leave us here to figure it out. You'll show us how to do that, Lord. Help us to tap into the spiritual strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.